Great. Hello, my name is Father Boniface. I'm a Benedictine priest and monk of St. Vincent Arch Abbey in La Trobe, Pennsylvania, and it's a pleasure to speak with Father Bishop Daniel Conlon of the Diocese of Joliet. Bishop Conlon, wonderful to be with you again.
It's good to be with you, Father Boniface.
Bishop Conlon, in the discussions at the General Assembly of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, there are a number of canonical considerations when it comes to addressing bishops in terms of accountability or disciplining if there are issues. Can you give us a little overview of what some of those considerations are?
Well, in general, of course, all the bishops of the world are directly accountable to the Holy Father, which, if you stop and think about it, is pretty much an impossible reality. I don't know, whether there are 3,000 bishops in the world, something like that. And so no one person can supervise or look after that many people. Obviously, Jesus set it up that way so that St. Peter would be the head of the apostles, and the bishops are the successors of the apostles, and the Pope is the successor of St. Peter. But from a purely human resources perspective or organizational perspective, it just doesn't work for the Pope, even with his curia, even with all the nuncios in the countries around the world, for there to be good supervision and a good way for bishops to be accountable. Just take the United States. There are, 300 or so bishops, active bishops, and then you've got retired bishops as well. And there's one nuncio here representing the Holy Father. So for the nuncio to be aware of what's going on in almost 200 dioceses and with, 300 active bishops, another 100 or so retired bishops, it's just very difficult. And most people, even if they had a concern about the behavior of their bishop, wouldn't have a good idea how to address that concern. And so with the whole sexual abuse of children in the church issue, I think that our Conference of Bishops wants to try to address that and provide some mechanism that's outside of the Code of Canon Law to be able to for people to be able to come forward with a complaint.
In 2002, there were some policies put in place for the monitoring and disciplining of priests, and that's a more obvious solution for which the bishops have authority, because
Correct.
The priests are have faculties only through their bishop, and they can be removed, and everything can be taken care of within the conference in that case. But in terms of bishops, it's not like the president of the USCCB is in charge of the Bishop of Joliet or of Steubenville or Pittsburgh or something else. There isn't that hierarchical structure within the U.S. conference.
That's right. So the charter did not address any misbehavior on the part of bishops, because the charter was intended to provide a way for bishops to address misbehavior on the part of priests. It was presumed that, as with any other misbehavior on the part of bishops, it would be addressed by the Holy See, by the Pope, or those offices that he has set up to assist him with the governance of the church around the world. The problem is that there's just no easy way for that to work. And so let's say a person working in the bishop's office, or just someone in the bishop's acquaintance, knows that something happened, or someone wants to report abuse that occurred to him or herself on the part of the bishop, even when the bishop was a priest before becoming a bishop. There's nothing in the charter that makes provision for that complaint to be brought forward and addressed.
And people don't know how to call Rome.
Yeah, right, exactly. Or even the nuncio in Washington, right? So people are at a loss to how to deal with that. And the charter doesn't address it, so there's no provision for that. So this, what we were going to be addressing this week were some concrete provisions, steps that people could take. And in addition to that, there was going to be a statement of a principle, a statement of standards of conduct that would apply to a bishop, not only in terms of regarding the abuse of minors, but also sexual acting out, even perhaps with someone who was a willing partner with the bishop, or sexual harassment that didn't arise to the level of actual sexual conduct.
The conference, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, has some limitations in the kinds of sanctions that they could impose, or policies or protocols. Is that right?
Well, as we were saying before, I mean, the only one who can really discipline a bishop is the Pope. And so there's nothing already provided for in canon law. There are no steps. There are no, there are no procedures that are laid out for disciplining a bishop. If a bishop has done something wrong, the matter has to be reported to the Holy See, and the Holy See then acts as it chooses to address that problem. So there's just nothing in place. And so what we were going to try to do is create some preliminary steps. In other words, someone would be able to make a report to this commission that would be set up, mostly lay people, who would be authorized to at least do a little bit of an investigation and determine whether there was any, you know, anything substantive there. And then if they so determined, they would report that to the nuncio, the Pope's representative here in the United States. And then the nuncio would have to determine whether to move forward with anything further than that, including reporting it to the appropriate office in Rome.
The Holy See stopped voting on action items, and that's created a stir in the secular media. But there were some reasons for that. Cardinal DiNardo, the president of the USCCB, mentioned the fact that these things will be discussed in February, and rather than the U.S. bishops getting ahead of the Holy See and the rest of the world, that, and also to take things from the February Synod before making some of these decisions or documents. He also mentioned, and it's all that he did was mention, possibly some canonical considerations or some canon law that needed to be looked at more carefully. Obviously, you don't know, you weren't part of that discussion, but as a canon lawyer also, do you have any idea what he might be talking about or what some of the complications are?
Well, just looking at what has been proposed for us this week, what we were going to be deciding and we're still going to be discussing, you're talking about setting up a commission that would could be contacted and could do some preliminary investigation of behavior that's that a bishop's been accused of. Well, that kind of an investigation is actually part of what we call a penal process, a criminal process, to use the common term we would use in our society. And so that is a canonical process, just as if you, you know, if you send the police out to investigate someone, that's part of the criminal process. The gathering of evidence is part of a legal process. So the same thing here, just to set up this commission to gather information is a canonical reality. And reporting that to the nuncio with the expectation that the nuncio would then report that to Rome. I mean, that's, you know, that's all part of a canonical process.
And that would require then really a change in canon law to institute a process like that?
In my opinion, it would require the approval of the Holy See, because the bishops' conference does not have the authority to set up new law. Now, maybe those who drafted this document or these policies for us, for the bishops' conference, didn't see it that way. They just saw it as an administrative process and wouldn't necessarily see it as penal law. But you know, when you start talking about something that affects the rights of people, potentially the loss of office, certainly the loss of reputation. I think you are dealing then with a canonical process and not just a purely administrative one.
Just one more point, Bishop, to again help our listeners to understand the canonical complexities. And you just mentioned something that I think is so important, that of course the potential victims or the accusers have rights, the bishops also have rights, and that's part of justice, that we work these things out not by accusations and hearsay, but with consideration of all of the evidence and respecting the rights of everybody involved. And one of the points of discussion is on handling those bishops who are retired, and a lot of this is happening now for already retired bishops who are being implicated by attorney general reports or some of this back investigation, or bishops that are actually being asked to retire because of some misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have rights, and how do those issues play out with the rights that they have to celebrate the sacraments or to preach the word or to function as bishops in their...
Sure. Well, that's why I say I think this, you know, setting up this commission and empowering the commission to investigate misbehavior on the part of a bishop, including the mishandling of their responsibilities, whether that would be investigating child abuse allegations or fulfilling the obligations of the charter about withdrawing priests who have credible allegations from ministry. If any of that can be reported to the commission, and the commission is authorized to look into any of that, certainly an individual would have the right of defense. That too, I think, is why, you know, you're talking about a canonical process here. And I think to have one Episcopal conference in the world develop that kind of a whole new strategy, a whole new set principles and policies, I can see why the Holy See would rather we all kind of look at that together. But yeah, certainly a person has a right to his good name and a right to defend himself against accusations.
Well, and I think just to conclude, Bishop, certainly we can see that the zeal of the United States bishops to take decisive action to address the problem is commendable. And certainly I'm grateful for you and for your commentary to help us understand that these are not simply things that can be signed off on, and that they do require greater consideration.
Right. Well, obviously, since the Pennsylvania grand jury report came out, we bishops have been under a lot of pressure to acknowledge that, first of all, that you know, some of these abuse cases were not handled well 20, 30, 40 years ago, and maybe even a few in more recent years. And then we're under pressure to show our commitment to act rightly in addressing these matters. But, you know, sometimes if you rush into these solutions, you sometimes can hit upon the wrong solution. And I don't want to say make things worse, but you know, you have to be careful, just as I think we were careful in putting the charter together. There have been a few adjustments to the charter, but fortunately the Holy Spirit helped us put that charter together, and it served us well for the last 16 years. So I think you have to be careful about this as well. And again, now that this is the child abuse issue is something that we recognize affects the church throughout the world in a way we didn't perceive in 2002 when the charter was adopted, we now have to act in concert with the other bishops' conferences and the Holy See.
Thank you so much for your
time.
Okay,
good.